From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, we'll bring you more information about Indonesia. You can listen on voanews.id. And now, we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. With me, Nuka Kusumawati, let's start from the national news. Indonesian government expects to spend around 95% of the total COVID-19 stimulus budget by year-end, less than the initial target as it struggles to ramp up state spending to support an economy still badly hit by the coronavirus outbreak. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that the government had spent 62.1% of the total budget at more than 400 trillion rupiah as of the end of November, with the remainder expected to be spent in December. Government expenditure saw a 9.76% year-on-year increase in the third quarter, a recoup from the second quarter contraction of 6.9% year-on-year, driven by higher social and capital spending on efforts to fight the impact of the pandemic. The government had been widely criticized to slow budget disbursement by health experts, economists, and business people during the early days of the pandemic. Minister Sri Mulyani stated in July that administrative issues had added challenges to the government efforts to disburse COVID-19 funds swiftly. Chief of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Board of the House of Representatives Fadli Zon has urged the Indonesian government to nix the policy of issuing visas to Israelis. Fadli Zon stated in Jakarta recently that Sukarno, the first president of Indonesia, had once said that as long as Palestinian independence was not restored, Indonesia would remain opposed to Israel's colonization. The statement was explicitly included in the preamble to the 1945 Constitution. Zon further stated, quoting the first paragraph of the 1945 Constitution stipulates that independence is the right of all nations. Therefore, any form of colonization in the world must be eliminated because it is against humanity and justice. Singapore remained the main market for Bangka Belitung province, processing export in the first 10 months of 2020, buying 18.99% of the province's total tin exports. As compared to the January to October 2019 period, Bangka Belitung's tin export to Singapore during the same period this year dropped 69.43%, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Dwi Retno Wilujeng Wahyu Utami from the Central Statistic Agency BPS office in Bangka Belitung stated in Pangkal Pinang on Tuesday. The province also exported processed tin to India, China, South Korea, and the United States, contributing 10.39% to the province's total tin export of 14.75%. Dwi Retno also said in total, the five big markets accounted for 71.04% of Bangka Belitung province tin export. Bangka Belitung is the second largest tin producers in the world. Now let's move on to the international news. NATO members state need to work with China despite the alliance prioritization of peace in Europe and Russia's security concern to enable it to resolve outstanding issues, including disarmament. German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said on Tuesday at a press conference ahead of a virtual meeting of NATO foreign ministers. Maas said, when asked whether there is a need to reset the alliance due to the growing confrontation between the West and China, that NATO shares the common view that NATO's fundamental principles in common foreign and security policy, especially with regard to transatlantic relation, with an eye on Russia, should remain the main part of NATO's efforts in order to maintain peace in Europe. At the same time, the German diplomat noted that the alliance needed to work on the Chinese direction of its policy, given the Asian country's increasing role. NATO foreign ministers are set to discuss China's rise, Russia's alleged military buildup, and other perceived threats to allies and partners during a virtual meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday. Senior military officials from the United States and Bulgaria held virtual talks to discuss plans for joint exercise and training next year, as well as their defense cooperation agreement, U.S. European Command EUCOM said in a news release on Tuesday. The forum was co-chaired by Bulgaria's Deputy Chief of Defense Air Force Lieutenant General Sanko Stoykov and U.S. EUCOM's Deputy Director of Partnering, Security Cooperation and Missile Defense, U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Jessica Mayron. Stoykov spoke from Bulgaria's Ministry of Defense in Sofia, while Mayron joined the talks from the U.S. Four-Star Combatant Command headquarters in Stuttgart. The release also said that within the legal framework of the U.S.-Bulgaria Defense Cooperation Agreement and implementing agreements, the two senior military officials led discussion covering a full spectrum of issues ranging from military operation, exercise and logistics to environmental, legal and taxation issues. The pharmaceutical company from the United States of America, Moderna Incorporation, asked the Food and Drug Administration for an emergency use permit for their COVID-19 vaccine, because according to their latest data, the vaccine they made has reached more than 94% effectiveness in preventing COVID-19 and is safe. According to Channel News Asia, Moderna Incorporation will become the second drug producer seeking emergency use from the FDA after Pfizer. On November 16, the company released a preliminary analysis of its phase 3 trial based on only 95 cases of COVID-19, showing the vaccine was at least 94% effective. Meanwhile, the latest data provides a more complete picture of the effectiveness of vaccines. Moderna CEO Stefan Bancel said in a press release that his company's made vaccine will change the course of COVID-19 pandemic.
The most exciting news to me yesterday when I learned the data was the severe cases, because if we can prevent severe cases, it means, you know, reduced or no hospitalization and no death. And that will be, of course, I believe, a game changer in this pandemic.
According to Stefan Bancel, his party will have about 20 million doses of the vaccine that are ready to vaccinate people by the end of 2020.
We should have up to 20 million doses by the end of the year. So as soon as we get approval, his goal is to vaccinate Americans within 24 hours from approval.
Apart from applying in the U.S., Moderna will also seek conditional approval from the European Medicines Agency, which has initiated a data review. They will continue to communicate with other regulators. Some 30,000 people began returning to their homes and deserted farms in the northeast Nigerian state of Borno on Monday, 6 years after fleeing jihadist violence and despite a weekend massacre that underscored the security risk they still face. And adding to their troubles, officials there warn of a looming food crisis caused at least in part by the deadly attacks on farm workers. They boarded dozens of trucks and buses at their camp in the state capital Maiduguri to travel some 130 kilometers or 80 miles to their home's area of Marte, once considered the breadbasket of the Lake Chad region. The operation came after an attack on Saturday to the village of Koshobe, and nearby communities killed dozens of farm workers in one of the deadliest assaults this year, blamed on Islamist militants. The precise death toll of the massacre was unclear, but 43 victims of the attack were laid to rest on Sunday in a mass burial attended by Borno State Governor Babaganan Umarazulum, who said at least 70 people perished in the massacre. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, that was the news.
Oh.
commentary today on Iran-Israel's tension after the killing of nuclear scientists. Iran-Israel relations are at their lowest. The death of Iran's leading nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh is the cause of the mounting tensions. Iran has even threatened to attack the Israeli city of Haifa, which is a very strategic port city. For Iran, the death of Fakhrizadeh was a heavy blow and the loss of a very important figure. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh for Iran is a very valuable asset. Iran calls him the father of the Iranian nuclear bomb. In the early 2000s, Fakhrizadeh founded the Islamic Republic of Iran's military program. As a mainstay of his country, the late Fakhrizadeh was very much protected by the Iranian government. However, last Friday, he was killed in a remote-controlled machine gun attack. The death of the nuclear figure was a blow to Iran's defenses. Hossein Salami, head of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps, has accused Israel of orchestrating and directing the assassination. An Iranian mass media, Kayhan, responded to the murder of Iran's nuclear father with provocative suggestions. Kayhan on Sunday advised the Iranian government to attack the Israeli port city of Haifa and destroy facilities there. Prior to the killing of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, Iran-Israel relations were already bad. Israel, a major U.S. ally, has long been hostile to Iran since the overthrow of the Shah of Iran as a result of the Islamic Revolution led by Ayatollah Khomeini. The position of the United States in the recent tensions that has been mounting is clear. Washington did not question the killing of the Iranian nuclear scientists and even emphasized its support for Israel, which was expressed through the U.S. State Department. Washington supports Israel in self-defense in light of Iranian threats to attack Haifa. Whether the Iranian-Israeli tension will turn into war because Tehran will attack Haifa is not clear. The transition period of government in Washington as a result of the newly held election may have an impact on this tense situation, including what steps Iran and Israel will take. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listen up with me again in today in history of a Voice of Indonesia. We start from a story on December 2, 1971, the establishment of United Arab Emirates. The United Arab Emirates is a federation of seven petroleum-rich emirates. These seven emirates are Abu Dhabi, Ajman, Dubai, Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah, Sharjah, and Al Qawain. On December 2, 1971, six of these states, namely Abu Dhabi, Ajman, Fujairah, Sharjah, Dubai, and Al Qawain, joined to establish the United Arab Emirates. In 1972, Ras Al Khaimah followed them to join. The Arab Emirates is the third largest oil-producing country in the Gulf region after Saudi Arabia and Iran. Next turn to a history on December 2, 1986, International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. On December 2 every year, various activist groups around the world celebrate International Slavery Abolition Day. This commemoration is a concrete action against trafficking and human exploitation. The commemoration of International Slavery Abolition Day was firstly held in 1986 after being initiated by the General Assembly of the United Nations and implemented by the United Nations Agency for Education, Culture, and World Heritage, UNESCO. The focus of the commemoration of the International Slavery Abolition Day is to emphasize the meaning of eradication modern forms of slavery around the world. We end with the history of December 2nd action, or 212 peace action, on December 2nd, 2016 in Jakarta, Indonesia. The December 2nd action, which is also called the 212 peace action and the Defend Islam Action 3, took place on December 2, 2016 in Jakarta, Indonesia. At least thousands of people demanded that inactive governor of Jakarta at that time, Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok, who had been named a suspect in the alleged case of blasphemy. This action was also known as the December 2nd peaceful action. The 212 action was the second prosecution incident against Ahok in 2016. Initially, the action was planned to be held on November 25th, but then it was agreed to be held on December 2, 2016. The 212 action was held in the courtyard of the National Monument, Jakarta. In this action, a number of activists were carried out, namely performing Friday prayer together. President Joko Widodo attended the event and was warmly welcomed by the participants of the action. That was Today in History.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
رانغ جان شوي بي تاي كو جاو هي فانغ شي سين سين غوانغ جوانغ بين دو في يان دا تشوان بو. ودا كو جاو باو هو ني ودا كو جاو باو هو وو.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinder Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
pada pemilik jiwa, karena ku yakin dia akan menjaga asa yang aku tinggalkan pada lingkar janji kehormatanmu. Oh, karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, dan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Bila kau menunggu.
You are still with us, English Service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next information about Indonesia will be in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is today's My Indonesia about the Bank Indonesia governor wants Indonesia to be a global Sharia economic player. Bank Indonesia governor Peri Warjio recently said he wanted Indonesia to be a global Sharia economy and finance player. Indonesian Sharia economic industry was seen to possess a great potential and had been a global trend. Peri Warjio said since 2015, the Bank Indonesia, the government, and other related institutions had increased the Sharia economy and finance developments that had focused more on the banking and now is expanded to the capital market, arms mobilization, and productive wakaf. Besides that, the efforts to increase and expand Sharia economy literacy was done through Sharia economy campaigns and festivals. Peri Warjio explained, more than that, the synergy between Bank Indonesia, the business world, and the banking was greater with the supply chain to enlarge the Sharia economy. Peri Warjio said Sharia economy and finance are not about religion, but an approach to the economy and finance business model. He said, even countries without Muslim majority population became Sharia economic center, such as China as the greatest Muslim clothing exporter in the world. South Korea is the biggest halal cosmetics producer and has halal tourism destinations. Japan is also a center for halal industry and tourism. Thailand also has the vision to be the world's halal kitchen. Considering that the Indonesian government previously had formed the National Committee for Sharia Finance or KNEKS, Indonesia still needs to further develop the Sharia economy among many in the sectors of pharmacosmetics, tourism, and finance because Indonesia still ranks the 6th based on the report by the State of Global Islamic 2020-2021. Nevertheless, some industries from Indonesia had entered the Big Ten. Halal food ranks the 4th and the fashion ranks the 3rd after United Arab Emirates and Turkey. While the pharmacosmetics, halal tourism and Islamic finance ranks the 6th. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
My love, pedulikan waktu. Kamu jadi kaca mataku yang lihat aku yang tak sempurna. Kau terima apa adanya, jadi diri sendiri saat denganmu. Begitu
very much if you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we'll bring you to have a glimpse about Indonesia, our tourism, or our local wisdom. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you to new Antogan in East Java. Stay tuned. Banyuwangi tourism destinations continue to grow. Now, Banyuwangi has a national tourism destination, New Antogan, located in Bunder Village, Kabah District, Banyuwangi, East Java Province. Antogan has actually been known by Banyuwangi residents for a long time. Antogan is chosen as a national tourism destination because this place has a strong history in which the Banyuwangi people fought against the colonialists. Historically, Antogan was a gathering place for Banyuwangi fighters to fight against Dutch colonialists. At this place, there are many hiding passages that are located among the large rocks that surround the Antogan waterfall. Antogan was also known as the place for Rempek Jogopati, the leader of the Bayu War when the VOC began to occupy Blambangan for meditation. Before fighting against the Dutch, Rempek Jogopati conducted a ritual meditation at the Antogan waterfall to pray for Allah's blessing to win the war. A 7-meter-high New Antogan waterfall offers a beautiful view of a clear waterfall, shady trees leading to the waterfall,
as well as swimming pool facilities and an entertainment stage for tourists. Banyuwangi Region Abdullah Azwar Anas appreciates the residents who continue to be creative in advancing their area, including the Antogan manager who rebranded this tourism destination. Building tourism does not have to be a permanent building, but with the many trees that grow in this tourism area, tourists can breathe fresh and clean air, especially during this pandemic. Outdoor tourism is now the main choice of tourists. Antogan, which is surrounded by many trees, is expected to grow more rare trees so that tourists can also get education besides traveling. Since it was built independently in 1987 by local people, New Antogan has become a favorite place for tourists because of its unspoiled waterfall. Many local people build various facilities around the tourism attraction, such as food stalls and kid playing grounds. There are a lot of tourism potentials that can attract tourists. The regional government rebuilt its Antogan by embedding the name of a New Antogan. It is hoped that the New Antogan can attract many tourists, both domestic and foreign ones, to visit and enjoy the natural beauty of this place. If you are interested in spending your vacation in New Antogan, you must apply the health protocols by wearing a mask, washing hands with soap, and keeping distance. And listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Oh, oh. Hanya hatiku. Satu tumbuh seribu kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Bicaralah oh, oh, yang kau mau, hatiku. Ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau, ini hidupku. caralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupmu.
If you're still thirsty for more information about Indonesia, the next one will be the interesting information about Indonesia in
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is the cake is very delicious, which means kuenya enak sekali. Listen to this conversation about the cake is very delicious. Kevin praises food that Rama's mother cooks.
Kevin, kamu harus mencicipi kue brownies talas ini.
Oh, ini namanya kue brownies talas. Aku ambil ya, Bu.
Bagaimana rasanya?
Wah, kue ini enak sekali, Bu. Aku suka rasanya.
Benarkah? Terima kasih, Kevin. Aku senang kamu menyukainya.
Now, I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to that topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Cicip or mencicipi, in English, to taste. Senang, in English, be happy. Suka, in English, to like. Talas, in English, taro. Makan, in English, to eat. Enak sekali, in English, very delicious. Bagaimana rasanya? In English, how does it taste? A positive compliment usually makes people proud or motivated. If you want to honestly express the delicacy of someone's cooking, you can use an expression enak sekali, which means very delicious. In the dialogue, Kevin praises the food that Rama's mother cooks by saying, Wah, kue ini enak sekali, Bu. Which means, this cake is very delicious, Mom. You also can use expression lezat, nikmat, gurih, which means delicious, to express your compliment by using expression Terima kasih, aku tersanjung. Which means, thank you for your compliment. Or, Oh, benarkah? Terima kasih. Which means, oh really? Thank you. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kevin, kamu harus mencicipi kue brownies talas ini.
Oh, ini namanya kue brownies talas. Aku ambil ya, Bu.
Bagaimana rasanya?
Wah, kue ini enak sekali, Bu. Aku suka rasanya.
Benarkah? Terima kasih, Kevin. Aku senang kamu menyukainya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya. masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Katakanlah. Besides information, we are providing you also with some good music to lift up your day. And anyway, we get more for you. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a regional song from Semarang sent to Java entitled Gado Gado Semarang. The song Gado Gado Semarang was composed by Kali Puspita. The song narrates many things about the city of Semarang. The lyrics of the song Gado Gado Semarang mentions that the name of the city of Semarang comes from the word Asam Arang, and its former head was Ki Ageng Padanaran. Semarang is also a coastal city, so many foreigners who love marine objects visit the city of Semarang. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Gado Gado Semarang, sung by Retno Indah. Enjoy the song.
Semarang, kembang cina
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for us to not to say goodbye, but we're inviting you to stay tuned with us. Anyway, please send your criticism, suggestion, or question to our email voi@vonnews.id, voi@vonnews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. And listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.